Hello, I'm Montse Alvarado. Welcome to EWTN Pro-Life Weekly.
Republicans will not stop at banning abortion. They will come for IVF next.
And yes, she will restore abortion rights nationwide.
Abortion headlines the Democratic National Convention. From speakers inside to Planned Parenthood clinics outside offering free chemical abortions.
This is no longer the party of safe, legal, and rare. It's the party of abortion.
Analysis on the no abortion limits agenda of the DNC and the outlook of ballot initiatives looking to enshrine abortion in several state constitutions by Susan B. Anthony, Pro-Life America.
I believe that we can end abortion in this country, that we can build a culture of life, that we can transform the nation into one of life.
1 month since the historic National Eucharistic Congress, we look at national pro-life leaders' inspiring messages, promoting the transformation of our country to support a culture of life.
Trump will do everything to ban abortion nationwide. Oh, he will. You know, Kamala and Tim will do everything they possibly can. That's why you have to elect a Senate and a House to restore Roe v. Wade.
Taking away our freedom to control our bodies, the freedom to become a mother through IVF like I did.
Abortion at the forefront of the Democratic National Convention this week, both inside the United Center in Chicago and on the city streets. Planned Parenthood of Illinois brought a mobile bus offering free chemical abortions, free vasectomies, birth control, and more at the start of this week. The pro-abortion organization says it's a demonstration of what they define as health care. A pro-life presence did make itself known right next to the bus to combat the false narrative of choice.
Your baby loves you. You don't have to do this. This is not your only option. Your baby's heart beats for you. They love you so much. They feel everything you're feeling. They can feel how scared you are. We know that you're scared, but it's going to be okay. We can help you.
A group called Progressive Anti-Abortion Uprising, or PAU, held signs, chanted, and used a bullhorn to reach out to women considering an abortion and offer to help get them the resources they need to choose life. The Democrats for Life of America also challenged Planned Parenthood's political grandstanding by offering free diapers to Chicago families in need. On Twitter, Kristen Day, the executive director of Democrats for Life of America, wrote, "Providing free abortions at the DNC is a concerning display of disrespect towards human life and motherhood." She goes on to say, quote, "It's just shameful how low Democrats have sunk." SBA Pro-Life America is calling the 2024 Democratic Party platform the most pro-abortion platform in history. They say the Democrats make promises of national legislation to allow abortion in every state, enshrining abortion with no limits in the U.S. Constitution, expansion of delivery of chemical abortion drugs through the mail, and efforts to force ER doctors to carry out abortions, to name a few. The Illinois Right to Life organization is also speaking out about the pro-abortion stance of the DNC, calling it an anti-life and anti-family event. In a press release, the president also called out Chicago Archbishop Cardinal Blaise Supich for delivering the invocation prayer on opening night. Mary Kate Zander wrote, "The Harris-Waltz ticket is the most pro-abortion presidential ticket in U.S. history. Cardinal Supich missed a clear opportunity last night to condemn their vile, murderous policies and, in effect, betrayed the vibrant pro-life community that he once aligned himself with in our state." Cardinal Supich's opening prayer focused on uniting Americans. He said in part that we are united by our aspirations of life, freedom, justice, and unbound hope. He did not, however, make any mention of abortion or the Planned Parenthood clinic offering abortions outside of the DNC. For more coverage of the Democratic National Convention and the elections overall, head over to the National Catholic Register website at ncregister.com. Their reporter, Peter Laffin, is on the ground providing more in-depth details of convention speeches. While the topic of abortion is on the national stage at the DNC, it's also top of mind in multiple states that will be voting on this issue this November, including several battleground states like Arizona. Just this Tuesday, the Arizona Supreme Court rejected an attempt to block the measure from appearing on the ballot just 48 hours before the ballot printing deadline. Arizona's current law allows abortion up to 15 weeks of gestation. The ballot measure would extend that window to allow abortions until viability, when a baby can survive outside the womb, which is typically about 24 weeks. The measure would also create a fundamental right to abortion under the state constitution. A ballot measure in Montana is similar on both fronts. Montana voters will also vote on whether or not to enshrine abortion in their state constitution. The state currently allows abortion until a baby can survive outside the womb as well. The amendment would prohibit the government from denying the right to an abortion before fetal viability. This comes after Montana's state Supreme Court recently ruled that minors don't need parental permission to receive an abortion. And in Missouri, fetal viability is also the focus in their November election. Abortion is currently illegal, with limited exceptions in that state. Voters will decide whether to guarantee a right to abortion until a baby can survive outside the womb. The measure would enshrine a right to abortion at any time of pregnancy in the state constitution as well. The Missouri Catholic Conference released a statement about the measure, saying in part, Amendment 3 is an extreme amendment that legalizes abortion at any state of pregnancy with no protections for the preborn child. The Missouri Catholic Conference will be working to inform the public about this deceptively worded amendment. They urge all Missourians of goodwill to oppose Amendment 3. In all, 9 states will seek to enshrine abortion into their state constitutions this fall. You can see them highlighted in red on this map. Several states are still considering ballot measures. Those are highlighted in yellow. Other states tried to get abortion-related laws on the ballot this November, but failed. Those included Wisconsin, Louisiana, and Maine. Kelsey Pritchard with Susan B. Anthony Pro-Life America is taking part in efforts to spread the pro-life message in these states and inform voters. Kelsey, we're grateful to have you back. We just mentioned several reasons why SBA Pro-Life America is calling the Harris-Walz ticket the most pro-abortion ticket in history. What can you tell us about the developing Harris-Walz platform on abortion?
Yeah, I can tell you that the Democrat platform mentions abortion more than any point it ever has. They use the word abortion 13 times in their platform. And previous years, it's been in there 2, 3, 4 times. So abortion is what they're running on. And they're trying, they're very extreme on this issue. They believe in all trimester abortion, no limits whatsoever. And we just look at the DNC, turn it on for 5 minutes and you'll see what their agenda is on abortion and just how abortion obsessed they are. It's like abortion palooza there. There is a bus right in front of the DNC that is providing free abortions. And if you go get an abortion with them, they'll give you a free hot dog. And so it's really despicable what's going on there at the DNC. And I just hope and pray that it wakes people up, not only on our side to be more engaged, but people in the Democrat Party as well, that this is no longer the party of safe, legal, and rare. It's the party of abortion done by anyone at any time, anywhere.
Now, let's talk about these ballot measures in the states. The ballot measures in Arizona, Montana, and Missouri, they are very similar. They have that similar construct of enshrining in the state constitution and also at the same time focusing on fetal viability. Can you provide more insight into how probable their passing really is?
Yeah, I just want to highlight first that they use the word viability, but the way things are worded in those amendments, they essentially allow all trimester abortion because they have gaping health exceptions that the courts have ruled can include familial health, age, and the abortionist is the one who decides when a woman needs an abortion. So an abortionist can at any point in a woman's pregnancy justify abortion. So that is horrific. That is even after the point of viability when a baby could survive outside of the womb. Now, it all depends upon what happens between now and election day in those states, if we can beat these ballot measures. I would say, Arizona already has a 15-week law. So this would be about abortions purely after the point science shows a baby can feel pain. This is after when a baby can smile, suck their thumb, when you know if it's a boy or a girl. So this is about late-term abortion. And again, in Montana, they already have a viability law. This is about enshrining second and third trimester abortion and forcing taxpayers to fund abortion. So we really, as the pro-life community, we all need to be engaged. We need to pray, and we need to engage however we can, whether it's by making sure everyone in our lives know what these amendments do, or whether it's by donating money or donating our time.
Now, Kelsey, what do these conversations with voters in these states look like? Is it as pro-abortion as some media outlets suggest, that these states have a lot of support for these pro-abortion measures?
The abortion lobby wants us all to think, especially those of us on our side, that they have these races in the bag and that there's no way that the pro-life community can win at the with ballot measures. And they point to previous races. The truth is that we've had similar measures pass in Michigan and Ohio. But Michigan, again, is a pretty blue state. Ohio is a purple state. We have up to seven red states that could have abortion on the ballot in November. And so the dynamics are different in these states. We have a shot in winning in every single one, but it all depends on all of us getting involved and speaking out about these.
Well, Nebraska is one of a couple of states that could join these ballot initiatives on life this November. You just named that you have some red states and some blue states that have these as well. Can you tell us how likely it is that more states will be able to have this on the ballot in November?
So, yeah, Nebraska is up in the air. They have two competing ballot measures. They have a good ballot measure, actually. They're the only state with a good ballot measure that would protect life in second and third trimesters. It would mirror the law that they already have in place protecting babies at 12 weeks. But then they also have a bad abortion amendment that's similar to what we're seeing in other states that allows all trimester abortion. So they will have their pick in Nebraska. That makes Nebraska pretty unique. South Dakota, you know, some folks have counted that already as a ballot measure state. But in South Dakota, where I live, there's still a Supreme Court challenge and court litigation that needs to go through the process. So it's potentially the pro-life community could be victorious in keeping that off of the ballot in South Dakota. And then in Arkansas, the Secretary of State found that the pro-abortion side violated some state laws in gathering, didn't meet requirements in gathering the signatures. And so that could be on the ballot there if the pro-abortion side is successful at the Supreme Court. But we're hopeful that those challenges can be successful and that we're only dealing with potentially five challenges in the red states this year.
Well, we'll be watching that closely, and hopefully we'll have you back to keep discussing this. Thank you so much, Kelsey.
Thank you. God bless.
In Rhode Island, Catholic leadership has rebuked a local Catholic college, Salve Regina University, for hosting a fundraiser last week where Tim Walz defended abortion rights. The Diocese of Providence spokesperson said they are surprised and disappointed that the university would rent space to a partisan political event. Up next, 1 month since the historic National Eucharistic Congress, we look at national pro-life leaders uplifting messages there to support a culture of life. You'll hear the unique stories of how the Holy Eucharist inspired pro-life missions and helped heal broken hearts. We'll be right back.
God loved you and willed you into being. Totally unique, unrepeatable, irreplaceable.
The sanctity and beauty of every human being. More than 50,000 people in Indianapolis and many more at home watching EWTN received these strong pro-life messages from speakers at the National Eucharistic Congress in July. As we celebrate the one-month mark of this historic movement in the church in the United States, we wanted to share some of the unique stories of how the Eucharist played a part in several pro-life leaders' missions and the revival of hope in the pro-life movement. We begin with Mother Olga, the founder of the Daughters of Mary of Nazareth in the Archdiocese of Boston. She frequently visits the most vulnerable in area hospitals. Mother Olga shared an incredible story of baby Emma and what she says is a Eucharistic miracle.
Just a little bit over a year ago, last May, May 23rd, I was invited to a hospital, which is something I do often in all the Boston hospitals. I was invited to visit this little girl. Her poor parents tried to conceive so many times, but it didn't work. And the last time they were pregnant with twin, a boy and a girl. I didn't know the couple, but I was invited by their friend. When I went to the hospital, sadly, at week 22, they had to have emergency C-section. The little boy didn't survive, and the girl was just 1 pound, and they had little hope for her to survive. Because I go to the hospital regularly to visit other patients, I always have the pics with me with the Holy Eucharist. And I ask the nurses at the NICU if they will give me permission to open the window in the incubator, as you can see, and put the pics inside the incubator, close to her body. Little Emma was in the incubator for 191 days. The doctors were so worried. Her kidney were not developed. Her lungs were not developed. They have fears about her sight. I was so moved one day when I put the pics, as you can see, her tiny fingers reach out to Jesus. On that day, I said to Jesus, please hold her hand because she's reaching out to you. For 191 days, Jesus and I never missed a Sunday visiting baby Emma. She grew so healthy, thanks be to God. She just needed one heart surgery when she was younger. 191 days, then we had a graduation party for her when she left the NICU. This past May, May 26, I went to her home and we celebrated Emma's 1 year birthday. Now she weighs 18 pounds. And you can see she smashed her cake. In the hospital, every Sunday when I went with the pigs to the NICU, to put it in the incubator next to Emma's body. All the nurses and doctors, they knew there was something special in Emma's room. They started calling it Emma's chapel. And every Sunday, they said, Jesus is coming to visit Emma. That was another Eucharistic miracle. The Lord revealed the power of his real presence in the Holy Eucharist by saving the life of this youngest child ever in that hospital to survive and fully develop and live healthy without any side effect of being premature. Only Jesus can do that.
At the National Eucharistic Congress, Lila Rose also shared details of her personal story and how Jesus renewed her heart in a mission to protect life in today's society that shouts death.
Jesus, I want to live for you. How can I live for you? And it was around this time that I became aware of what I believe is the greatest human rights crisis of our day, which is the killing of our brothers and sisters in the womb and the rejection of the gift of human life. And as I discovered more about the problem of abortion as a young teen, I began to pray this prayer to our Lord. Jesus, Lord, use me. Use me to do something to save lives. Use me. It's a very dangerous prayer to ask God, all-powerful God, to use us tiny little creatures for his will, because guess what? He will do it. He will allow us to be part of his plan. That is how good our God is. We give him a little inch and he will transform our lives. And as a college student, I started doing investigative reporting after I started my nonprofit in a high school, Live Action. And I saw the darkness and the evil in our world. We struggle with our own personal sins as human beings. And we struggle against the consequences of sin in our families, in our cities, in our nation. And it was dark. And yet, during that time, I saw God use even the difficulties, even my own weaknesses, for good. That is the power of our God. After my first investigative report, I remember going to my dorm room and getting an email. And it was from an international corporation that does abortions. A $1.5 billion corporation that is the leader of abortion on the globe. And they had sent me an email to my student address. I don't know how they got it. threatening that they would sue me and pursue criminal penalties against me for my reporting. And I remember, I had no money in my bank account at the time, no lawyer at the time. My organization was very small. But I remember getting to my knees in my dorm room and saying, Lord, I don't know what I'm in for here, but I trust in you. Help me trust in you. And every step of the way, God has used, and he used that challenge to help the work multiply and reach now many more millions of people with the truth about not just the evil of abortion, but the truth about the beauty and the goodness of human life, of marriage and of family. Now, about almost 6 years ago, I married my husband, Joe, an incredible man of faith. We have three beautiful children that we have been blessed with. Thanks be to God. I'm here with my three-month-old daughter, Genevieve. She's in the back somewhere, hopefully sleeping. And every night, this mission for life is now our family mission. And every night we pray together, not just for an end to abortion, but we pray for our children that they may grow big and strong and healthy, that they may become saints, and that they may help lead many souls to heaven. You see, we want our hearts to expand. We want our hearts to be on fire for Jesus Christ. And it is a daily activity that we must renew our hearts. We must continue to ask for the grace. We must continue to ask to be used to do things for him, great things for him. There are 50,000 people here in the stadium tonight. Imagine if each one of us asked our Lord, use me. If we said, do whatever you want with me, Lord. Imagine what God can do. I believe that we can end abortion in this country, that we can build a culture of life, that we can transform the nation into one of life.
If you want to hear more about Lila's pro-life mission, check out the Lila Rose podcast and stream it here on EWTN. Go to EWTN.com and hit the on-demand tab. You can also watch the podcast on demand on our EWTN app. We turn now to an icon in the movement, Sister Bethany Madonna. As local superior and mission coordinator of the Phoenix Foundation for the Sisters of Life, she has seen the spiritual battle firsthand against abortion. Let's take a listen.
I was a novice preparing for first vows and serving at our crisis pregnancy mission in New York. I was on the phone with a pregnant 16-year-old whose mother was forcing the abortion. As we spoke, she stopped listening to me and just hung up. And she wouldn't pick up my calls or answer my texts. In the 14th rule of the discernment of spirits of St. Ignatius, he says that Satan takes us in and he's looking for a crack. And when he finds it, he begins to batter ram that place. The enemy saw how insecure I was about being capable of serving pregnant women, and he stepped right in there with his malicious accusations. This is your fault. She had the abortion. If any other sister had taken that call, she would have responded. You can't be a sister of life. You lose the pieces that you're supposed to pick up. Yeah, the enemy, he's an accuser and a liar, and shame and blame are his signature. I spent weeks in agony under this oppression, so ashamed. And I begged the Holy Spirit to give me a word. And the day before Pentecost, I was crying at the crypt of our founder, John Cardinal O'Connor. And an Irish priest saw me there, and with such kindness, he asked, and it's a shame I can't do an Irish brogue with this red hair, but he said, Sister, is Jesus asleep in your boat? I could only nod, yes. And he said, oh, do you know what St. Therese would say? He smiled. Get him a pillow. A pillow. Yes, it was my answer. I was so distraught. I was distraught thinking that the Lord didn't care about me or this teenager or her baby, that we were perishing. This was an invitation to trust him like I never had before. So in prayer, I found Jesus on my boat. I picked up his drowsy arm and I tucked myself under it. I'm staying with you, Lord.
Sister Bethany Madonna included the testimony of a woman who suffered through an abortion, but thanks to the Sisters of Life's Hope and Healing program, had a conversion of heart with the Eucharist.
Jennifer told us how her husband wanted to get their marriage convalidated in the church. He approached her and said, "Meet with Father, go to confession." And after she heard the word confession, she just kind of went blank because she was so terrified of confession. She'd suffered two abortions in her early days and had never confessed. After 29 years of shame and silence, this was the moment of grace the Lord had been waiting for. And she was able to make an appointment with her parish priest. As she drove, the battle was on, and I'm going to use her words. She said, "So I'm clutching the steering wheel when suddenly I started hearing a whisper. You don't have to do this. Why are you making this so difficult on yourself? What about that second abortion? Are you going to tell him about that one? You don't have to, you know. Why don't you just turn back? Just go back." She said, "I was fighting so hard, crying and praying the Hail Mary, so I just lashed back. No, I want to heal. Hail Mary, full of grace." She said, "I got there in tears, and Father walked me through the whole confession. At the end, he put his hands down as if picking up a lamb and putting it on his shoulders. He said, 'All of heaven rejoices when the lost lamb comes home. Welcome home.'" Welcome home. She continues, "I remember going to Mass the next day, walking up for communion with such anticipation and excitement. I nearly cried when I took the host in my hands and received him. I decided from that point on, my life would be a yes to God. For the very first time in my life, I felt alive, on fire, and in love. Their eyes were opened and they recognized him in the breaking of the bread. To be alive, on fire, in love. This is the fruit of encountering Jesus and letting him radically change us. Yes, the love of God has been poured into our hearts, and it's the kindness of God that leads us to life-giving repentance. It begs the question, what does this culture need? What does the world need? What the world needs now is love.
If you missed any of EWTN's coverage of the National Eucharistic Congress, you can rewatch it on demand or by visiting the EWTN YouTube page under the 2024 National Eucharistic Congress tab. And speaking of the Sisters of Life, 10 new sisters just took their perpetual vows in New York City's St. Patrick's Cathedral on Tuesday. They were surrounded by more than 1,800 clergy, sisters, brothers, family members, and friends. The Sisters of Life were founded in 1991 by Cardinal John O'Connor. Thanks for watching EWTN Pro-Life Weekly. Be sure to like and follow us on our social media channels. You can find us there at EWTN Pro-Life on X, Facebook, and Instagram. And sign up for our newsletter, The Pro-Life Pulse, EWTN.com/pro-life. Remember, life is a gift. Your life is a gift. God bless.